Hello there, this is Ray Higdon, and we are going to go over the money challenge. Did you have fun doing that? You know, it was kind of neat, right? Kind of different. And, you know, I ask of you, I hope that you didn't just skip to this audio. I hope you actually took the questions, took the time to look at it, because this may challenge a lot of your thinking about money. It really might. For most people, I would argue that based on what I've observed through hundreds of, thousands maybe of coaching calls, of trainings at different events, I'm willing to bet that this will challenge a lot of people. Really will. And so I want to talk about this. So I hope that you did, if you didn't write down your answers, if you didn't take the time to go and put your actual thoughts about the questions on a piece of paper, pause this audio, finish it now before it's too late. All right, so let's jump in. And so, number one, and by the way, there's no right answers, but you're gonna hear me talk about certain concepts that may challenge how you think about money. So number one, I think the perfect amount of money to make is X, per month, per year, etc. And this is it's really a tricky question, because some people will put just enough to get by, right? Or something along those lines. And, The thing with that is we live in an abundant world, despite what the media shares with us, despite the tragedies that are amplified, and there are real tragedies going on. This is not a anti-charity rant or anything like that, but we live in a world of abundance. We live in a world where you can, with what you already possess, go out and procure whatever amount of money you want to procure. It's a very simple process. The amount of value you put into your marketplace will dictate how much money you'll make. And so, what is the limit to your value? Okay? So, let's talk about that. All right. So, I think the perfect amount of money to make is X, amount per month, per year. There's no right answer to that. But I'll tell you, if your number is either a low number, or if it is a just enough to get by or to live within my means, if it's anything like that, then there's a very high chance you believe in scarcity. You believe that that you don't understand the concept and the reality of the value you put into the marketplace dictates your income. Number two, I feel that people with a lot of money are, this is also a tricky question. There was a time in my life where I thought, if I knew someone had a lot of money, I would kind of act weird around them, and I would, maybe look for things that, were wrong with them, or, look for, all right, what did they do to get this money? They did something shady. And what was that really saying? Well, what it's saying, if you view rich people, wealthy people with disdain, or, you like to throw rocks at them, as far as verbal rocks or mental rocks or Facebook jabs or, something like that, it means that you believe that there's a great divide between you and someone who's wealthy. And that division will prevent you from ever being one of them. I don't think that too many people would consciously say, I don't want to have a bunch of money. Not too many people. And the people that say that, you know, the person that might say that is someone who equates wealth or being rich to negativity. You know, well, all rich people aren't happy, or they don't have successful marriages, or they let the money go to their heads. Any kind of division between you and people you view as wealthy or rich will always stay there if you have it. And so one of the fastest ways for you to start resonating toward more wealth and more money is to break that division. Break that division of how you see yourself versus how you view celebrities, sports stars, whatever, right? Number three, if I won $1 million, I would what? Now, most people, I'm willing to bet, and by the way, I would love, absolutely love and adore you to make a comment on this blog post about what you got out of this challenge. Some of you are going to disagree with me. I fully understand that. Some of you are going to say, Ray, that's bull crap. You're full of it. Others are going to see this as a shedding of a self that doesn't serve them. My suggestion to you, that hatred, dismay, or scarcity mentality toward those of wealth or extreme riches or lavishness does not serve you. Not only does it not serve you, it doesn't serve even your charitable causes. You know, my friend Mark Hoverson says your poverty isn't serving anyone. And so for those of you who think, you know, this is, let's just all make just enough money to give to charities, well, eventually that runs out, doesn't it? But if you believe in abundance, you know, if you believe that we can actually have healthy, powerful, abundant lifestyles while still giving to charity, okay, while still supporting your causes. And I would suggest not just giving to charity. You know, I've donated to a lot of charities, but you know where I've got the most value? It's where I actually spend time with them, where I actually do work with them, do work with, you know, the Boys and Girls Club, do work with, you know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, do work within those organizations. But here's a little neat thing. If you are truly committed to helping those charitable organizations, do you realize that you cannot have disdain toward wealthy people? Because the guilt trip move of some people to try to get people to give to charity, the, you know, hey, your lavishness is disgusting. And you see, I'm giving you kind of a preview on some of these questions in this challenge here. But the guilt trip mentality, it keeps a division of you from ever becoming wealthy, because if you have it set in your subconscious and in your mind, if you have that set that, you know, people just should not spend money on lavish things and they should, you know, do alternative things, then that means you believe in scarcity. That's a fact. Okay. So if I won $1 million, I would, well, if you answered this half-heartedly, if you answered this like party, travel, if you answered it in, you know, very short, there's a 99% chance you don't believe you could ever possess $1 million. And so we joke. You know, we make that painful joke of, you know, we just don't believe it's possible. And so now I have several different examples of of lavishness. At a recent BET award, Beyonce spent $100,000 on leggings and a matching bra top. Right? Is that ridiculous? It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. However, if your reaction to this and P. Diddy's $500,000 party and Aaron Spelling's $48 million mansion and Trump's $365,000 mobile champagne cooler, okay, if your reaction to those types of things are, oh my God, that's so wasteful, or oh my God, they should give to charity, or oh my God, you know, they should have done this. Well, every single one of them listed gives a pretty more enormous amount to charities. Okay? And but if you view that, if you take lavishness and you develop a hatred toward it, or you develop a hey, that guy should. Well, I want to ask you a couple questions. Number one, how much value are you bringing into the marketplace that you can then roll into your favorite charity? And number two, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you of your scarcity mentality. If you believe this is an either-or universe, that's tough. Because what it is actually doing, okay, what it's doing is it has your subconscious programming you from ever being wealthy. Do you realize that your criticism, a criticism of someone who is wealthy, who is rich, who spends lavishly, a criticism against that race of people is your subconscious saying, I never want to be criticized. I never want to be that rich. I never want to be that wealthy. Now, then we scroll down a little bit. We got Kate Hudson's $30,000 pajamas. You got Paris Hilton. You got Nick Cage. Now, number 11. In 2005, Nicolas Cage gave $1 million to the Red Cross and $2 million to Amnesty International. How'd you feel about that? Now, this is also a tricky one. And I threw that in there for a loop. Okay? So $3 million, is that pretty good? It's a lot of money. Is that, now follow me here, is that more money than someone who is poor could possibly give? Did that help those charities more than someone who is dead broke? So do you understand? Do you understand how important it is if you are a charitable person, if you're a giving person? Do you realize how important it is that you become rich? Do you realize that? It is so important for you to become rich, especially if you're a charitable person. And so when you criticize the rich, the lavish, the wealthy of excess spending and wasteful spending, I want you to take a look and see, okay, how much am I giving to charity? And you may be saying, well, Ray, I'm not blessed. I'm not this. I'm not that. Bullshit. The value you bring into this marketplace will get you income, will make you rich. And that is completely 100% up to you. Well, Ray, I don't know how to bring value into the marketplace. Start serving others. Start solving others' problems. If you solve enough people's problems, you can make that a profitable venture. You can make it. Look at our industry of network marketing. In network marketing, we are able to help somebody with low risk, low overhead, completely engineer their lifestyle. Look at me. I was in foreclosure. I was in foreclosure 2.5 years ago. But through network marketing has been able to, last year I made more money than I ever made. I also gave more money to charity than I ever gave. You know, was the top fundraiser in 2 different charities in my area. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because, wow, at least I took action and went out there and made money and was able to build a circle of influence of people that I've helped solve problems. So what should you do? Should you go out and create value for the marketplace and solve other people's problems? Yes. The answer is yes. You need to be rich. If you want to truly make an impact on these charities, become rich. Get massive residual income so you can spend your day however you want. If you want to spend it, you know, spooning soup. If you want to spend it, you know, helping starving people, you can do that. But you can only do that if you're making money. You see, if you're not making money, you can only do so much. But if you're making money, you have greater access, greater exposure. You can impact them greater. Look at number 12. As of 2007, Bill and Melinda Gates were the second most generous. They've given over $28 billion to charity. Now, I wonder how many people read number 11 and number 12 and thought, well, sure, they can do it. Well, yeah. Yeah, if I had that much money, I'd do that too. That's nothing. Okay, so if you did that, then you're the person that there's never a win with. There's just never a win with you. And I know this is challenging some of you, but I'm the challenger. I'm the guy that says the non-popular stuff. I say the things because I truly want you to change. I want to help. There's so many people out there that they're going broke trying to get rich quick. And then there's so many other people out there that just chastise the rich and tell them they should give more to charity. But when they do, that's not good enough either. And then I go on to number 13. I think this is a funny one, especially after number 11. So after number 11, some people are feeling good about Nick Cage. And then after this one, he buys, you know, yachts, islands, 50 sports cars, 15 mansions, a dinosaur skull. It's insanity. He buys the first Superman comic, right? It's just crazy. And so how did that change our opinion of Nicolas Cage? Now, if you went through this challenge and you were the 1%, and let me be very clear, only 1%, possibly 5% of you went through this and thought it was pretty darn cool that these celebrities have figured out the marketplace where they can make massive amounts of money. 1-5% max. There's no way 6% of people went through this quiz and answered it with having gratitude and thinking, wow, that's what's possible. It's possible to go, because you either think of abundance or scarcity. You cannot think both. You either believe that there's enough money, there's enough wealth and riches and resources on this planet to allow someone to buy a $365,000 mobile champagne cooler and still offer value to the marketplace, still host charitable events, still help people around the world. Okay. Now, does this mean I'm condoning? Yes, guys, let's all go buy a dinosaur skull for $276,000. I'm not saying that. But boy, isn't it neat that we live in a world where someone can generate that kind of wealth to do whatever the heck they want and then still be able to give to charity and help people out. So I hope that this money challenge has been exactly that, a challenge to your way of thinking. Now, I recall, you know, in my upbringing, I used to see family members sit around the TV and, you know, talk about those rich people and how they were so different and there was such a division. Well, I'm suggesting to you that bullshit that you've been taught, that bullshit that's been programmed in us, that there's some kind of division, okay? At some point, if you ever want to become wealthy, you will need to eradicate your feelings toward the wealthy. Eliminate that. Now, does everyone spend their money how I would? Of course not. You know, I love the fact that early on in life, I made a lot of money and I lost it all. It made me appreciate the fact of my mindset, because I can guarantee you, it is exactly that mindset that lost me that money. Was it the market? I can say the market and everyone would agree, but it was my mindset. I did not adapt. I didn't concentrate and focus on providing value in the marketplace at a time when it needed it, so my money went away. But I'm so thankful for that lesson. So grateful. But it's also taught me that anybody, in any circumstance, can go from nothing to massive amounts of wealth in a very short period of time. And I want you to know that you can too. Maybe you're like me and you've been struggling and, you know, I was in 11 different network marketing companies, had no success to speak of. Maybe you've been kicked in the teeth by this recession and whatever they want to call it. But you have to understand that in every down economy, there are so many millionaires made, there's so many empires built, and how you think about the wealthy will dictate a large amount of whether you ever get there or not. If you despise the wealthy, it is guaranteed you will never reach that, because our subconscious will not allow us to grow into something we despise. And by the way, your subconscious, that's your auto-programming. That's what will keep you back. And so the next time you see a wealthy person spending lavish amounts of money, have gratitude. Have gratitude that we live in a world where that's possible. Have gratitude that, you know, someone went through a lot of struggles to get there. You know, no one is truly an overnight success. Okay? Went through a lot of training, went through a lot of struggles, went through a lot of different things to figure out their market. And understand that you can figure out your market, whatever that market is. Whatever your market is, you can figure out how to provide value for that marketplace, and you will be compensated for doing that. And so please leave me a comment on this blog. Tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me what you think. Tell me that this opened your eyes. Tell me at least there's some glimpse of possibility that you could see yourself shedding that division between you and someone who's ultra rich. Because I can tell you, money only makes you more of who you are. If you truly are a charitable person, not the guilt-tripping, you know, the guilt person of, oh, he has a lot of money, you should give it away, right? You're not that, okay? That's very weak, that's a low vibration. But if you are truly a giving person, someone that cares about others, then you need to be rich. You need to make a lot of money. The more money you spend locally, the more jobs are created. You want to help the economy? Make money. This is Ray Higdon. I hope you've enjoyed this challenge. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.